Okay, we are up to Malachim Aleph, Perek Tezayin, the next Perek relating to the split of the Malchus, the Malchi Yisrael, the Malchi Yehuda, what's going to happen. Before we get into the next Perek, Perek Yezayin starts the sixth Perek story of Achav and Eliyahu Hanavi. That is on the horizon. But today, we have the last of the smaller stories, discussions of the kings that were after Yeravam, before Achav, and after Shlomo, and after Rechavam, before we get to the Eliyahu HaNavi, and we'll see who was king during the times of Eliyahu HaNavi. So this parak tells us that Baasha, who had decimated the family of Yeravam, he also followed in Yeravam's ways, and therefore Hashem comes to the Navi Yehu and says to him about Baasha's family, they're going to be destroyed exactly like Yeravam and Nevat's family was. The exact words are even used, and Baasha's family is going to pay for it. Baasha dies, though. Eventually, his family is going to be wiped out, as we will see. After Baasha dies, his son Elah takes over, and he is also bad. All of the Malchi Yisrael, there is not one melech in the Malchi Yisrael line that is a positive king. Right, in the Malchi Yehuda line, there are ups and downs. But in Malchi Yisrael, they are all bad. They are all doing Avodah Zarah. They are all terrible. And that's what Yehu says here, that Baasha will be wiped out, and his son Elah will be wiped out, and for everything that they have done. Then the Navi says, Bishnas Esa Meshay Shana, the 26th year of Asa, the king of Yehuda, we mentioned Asa in the last parak, who was a positive king of Malchus Beis David, and that's the year that Elah took over. And at that time, Vayikshalav Avdo Zimri, Elah had a servant named Zimri who assassinated him. And then Zimri was only king for a week, for 7 days, and then the general took over, and that was Omri. Omri took over from Zimri after Zimri burned himself alive in the palace, and Omri was king then for a number of years before his son takes over, and that is laying the groundwork. His son is Achav. Achav is one of the over the Avodah Zarah kings, as we will get deep into stories of Achav, but Omri is king in this parak for 12 years in the times of Asa. He builds a city in Shomron on the mountain, a city that he names after of an Avodah Zarah. He does hara b'nei Hashem. He does worse than anybody else before him. And he continues the sins of Yeravam ben Nevat. He goes down and he dies, and his son Achav takes over. Achav takes over in the 38th year of Asa. Achav is going to be king for 22 years, a nice long malchus, and he does hara b'nei Hashem also, worse than anybody before him. He marries, as we are now introduced to the notorious couple, Izevel. Izevel, the non-Jewish woman who Achav marries, they build the Mizbeach to the Baal, and Achav makes Asherahs and Baals and Avodah Zarah, and just the last pasuk tells us, seemingly connected, in his days, in Achav's days, there was a man named Chiel who decided that even though there was been a curse for 500 years, that Yehoshua instituted, nobody's allowed to rebuild Yericho or else their children will die. I'm going to rebuild Yericho. And Chiel starts building up Yericho. His oldest son dies when he started, and his youngest son dies when he finishes. They all died exactly as Yehoshua ben Nun had forecast if anybody builds it up. So this is the story, and now the groundwork is laid for the next parak, Achav and Eliyahu HaNavi. But now let's get into this parak. Parak Tezayin. So the Dvar Hashem comes to Yehu ben Hanani about Baasha. And he says, Yan asher hare mosicha min ha'afar. I have taken you up from the dirt. What do you mean from the dirt? By Yeravam, a different lashon is used. I have taken you up from the Am. Explain the Mefarshim that earlier Yeravam at least was a Talmud Chacham. And he was raised up from the Am, but he was a Talmud Chacham, and then he blew it. Here, Baasha had no zechuyos. It's just that Yeravam had to be punished, and therefore he brought him up from nothing. Va'etnecha nagid al ami Yisrael, I made you a nagid, and vatelech v'derech Yeravam. But you follow the path of Yeravam, atachli as ami Yisrael, and you caused others to sin. Lahach iseni b'chatosam, to make me angry. Hini mavir achari Baasha, I will destroy and punish Baasha. The Kleyakar quoted by the Mefarshim here points out that the Navi starts off with a directive to Baasha, because you, and then when the onus is starting to be described, it's in third person, it's not directed to him, because that's how you give tochacha. If you see it's not getting through, so maybe even talking to a third person and have having the recipient overhearing, that is even more effective. So that's what happened here. It keeps vacillating between third person and first person. Whoever from Basha's family dies in the city, the dogs will eat. Whoever dies in the field, the birds will eat. We had the exact same pasuk earlier, talking about the descendants of Yeravim ben Nevat in Perek Yud Dalet, pasuk Yud Aleph. Same thing, right? And this is a parallel, because he wiped them out, but he did know better. V'yasa divrei Basha, Basha asa ugvar asa. The rest of Basha's words are written in divrei hayamim, right? The history books. We don't have to know anything else about him. The big question is, so why is he being punished? Why is he so bad? He did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. He wiped out Yeravim. The answer is because he didn't do it L'Shem Shamayim. If he had been doing it L'Shem Shamayim, then he would have wiped them out and then fixed the failings of Yeravim. And yet, what do we see that he did? He didn't. He does the same exact averus, which is Megala, that even though he wiped them out, it wasn't L'Shem Shamayim, and therefore he could even be held accountable for killing out the house of Yeravim. He's not even going to get schar for that, as the pasuk says in pasuk Zayin, because he killed Yeravim. Why should he be punished? It's the same thing as the Mefarshim explain the discussion about the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim, the Ramban's Kasha, and Pasha's Lech Lecha. Why were the Mitzrayim punished? It was forecast from Bris Bina Basarim. Hashem already said there'll be an Eretz Lo Lahem, Vavadim V'Nu Osam. So the Mitzrayim were just fulfilling the prophecy. So what was the problem? Why were the Mitzrayim punished? Why does it say V'Achreichein, Don Anochi, I will judge them? So this is the Rambam's Kasha, the Ramban's Kasha. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in the end of the sixth parak, says, because Hashem did not decree on any specific person to do it. Hashem didn't say this person will subjugate, like the Torah says at the end of the Torah that people are going to do avodah zarah in the future. Doesn't that take away bechira chashus? No, Hashem says this is what's going to happen in general, but every person still has bechira chashus. V'cheina mitzriim kol echad ve'echad me'osan ha'mitzarim v'amirim liYisrael. Each one ilo lo ratza lahara lahem harishus biyado. If anybody didn't want to do it, they would have the rishus. Shlo gazar alish yadua elohodio shasov zara lishtabid be'eres lahem. That's the Rambam. The Ramban does not like the Rambam. The Ramban says, no. If Hashem says a nevuah, so you should jump to do it. What? You don't have to do it? You should jump to do it. Says the Ramban, is a different shot. The reason why is because they went overboard. They went beyond what they were supposed to do. Plus the fact, and these are connected, that they didn't do it L'Shem Shamayim. If you ask them, why'd you do it? To fulfill the Bris Ben Abbasarim? Of course not. They were just subjugating. And that is, Rabbi Yonason Sacks once said that these two points of the Ramban go together. You could tell that it wasn't L'Shem Shamayim because they went overboard and did much worse than they were supposed to do. And because of that, they don't get any schar for it. And that's why they're going to be punished. Sho sifu lahara ki yishlichu b'neim liya'ar. V'yemaru es chayeyem. V'chashvu limchos es shemam. V'zeh tam don anochi sh'avi osam b'mishpat. Im also kinigzer aleyem oho sifu lahara lahem. I'm going to see exactly what they did. And because they went overboard, which is a reflection that they didn't do it l'shem shemayim, so that is why they're going to be punished. And that's exactly what happened here. Basha wiped out Yeravim's family. But he didn't do L'Shem Shamayim, and therefore, what's the right that he didn't do L'Shem Shamayim? Because he continued the same Chatoyim that Yeravim did, and that's why he's going to be punished. The Meshech Chachma in Lech Lecha defends the Rambam against the Ramban's attacks and says, well, you know why the Rambam said that you didn't have to do it? Because the difference between whether something is said as a Lashon Sivui or a Lashon Sipur Ba'alma. The Yafe Amar, says the Meshech Chachma, Ilu Amar HaKasav B'Lashon Sivui Sheyavdu B'Magoyim, if Hashem commanded, then fine, then you should jump to do it. Avokan Amar Derech Sipur V'Avadim V'Inu Osam. And that's the same thing here, says the Rinas Yitzchak, that here they weren't commanded, Basha wasn't commanded. It was told that Yeravim's house was going to be destroyed, but it wasn't specifically commanded to them, and that's why they're held to task. Also, I once heard in the name of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, in the story of Shaul. So Shaul wipes out a bunch of Amalek, but he leaves Agag and a couple of others left alive. So he was punished for it. Suggested Rav Lichtenstein, he wasn't only punished for not wiping out the Amalekis that he left alive. He's also punished for wiping out those that he did. Why? Because the fact that he didn't wipe out certain of Amalek shows that even the ones that he did wipe out wasn't being done L'Shem Shamayim. If it was Kasher Tziv Hashem as Moshe, that he would have been across the board. The fact that he only did some reflects that even those weren't L'Shem Shamayim. Very sharp thought. But either way, that's what's suggested here. Why was Basha punished? I wasn't supposed to happen. It's the same thing with the Mitzrayim. It was supposed to happen, but he wasn't doing it for that reason. Okay, so Baasha dies, and his son Yehu takes over. In the 26th year of Asa, remember Asa, I think, was king for 41 years. In his 26th year, Ela, the son of Baasha, takes over in Tirzan. He was only king for 2 years. Why? Because he was assassinated. His Eved Zimri comes along, and while he, Ela, is drunk, which the Rambam discusses, a king is never supposed to get drunk and to lose his control and to be out of the ability to give commands. He gets drunk. Vayavo Zimri, Vayakeo, Vayimisehu. Zimri comes and kills him in the 27th year of Asa ben Yehuda. And Vayimloch Tachtov, right? The Mefarshim tried to figure out if he became king in the 26th year, and he was king for 2 years, and he was killed in the 27th year, something's wrong here with the math. So you have to say, maybe it was 1.5 years, they rounded. Either way, Zimri now takes over after wiping out Ela and Baasha and the entire family, as was described by Yehu in the beginning of the parak. But Zimri continues. The Navi says, Bishnas Esra Vesheva La'asa, he's king for 7 days, and the rest of the Am, though, is encamped against the Plishtim. The Am, Vayishma Ha'am Achonim Lemar, the Am hears Kasher Zimri, the Gamikas HaMelech, they hear that Zimri assassinated the king, and they were not happy about that. He was a melech without an am. So what happened? They turned to their general, Omri, Sartzaval Yisrael, and they said, you be our king. And that's exactly what they happened. They went and surrounded Tirza, where Zimri was. Zimri sees that he's surrounded by Yavo al Armon Beis HaMelech. He goes into the king's house. By Yisrof Alav Es Beis HaMelech Ba'esh. He lights the king's house on fire. Vayamos, and he dies. Not 100% clear in the Pesukim who lit it on fire. The simple interpretation, that's what Zimri is the subject of the whole pasuk, that Zimri lit himself on fire. Zimri went into the palace, and then he committed suicide. That's what it sounds like. And if that is true, and that's what the Abarbanel says, Beferish, if that's true, then this represents the fourth and final suicide that we have in Tanakh, in Navi, where we've had the schus of discussing Navi since the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. So there have been four suicides in Tanakh, all parallel, we mention, to the four Mises Bezdin, Skilus Refa Herak Chenek. First we had Shimshon in Sefer Shoftim committed suicide, that's Skila. Then we had in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, we had Shaul at the end, two different versions, but let's say that's Hereg. Then we have Achitofel, who hung himself after his advice was not followed by Avshalom. And here we have Zimri, who lit himself on fire, Srefa, Skila Srefa Herak Chenek. The Radak says that it was Omri who surrounded, and instead of attacking, just lit the palace on fire. Then there would only be three suicides in Tanakh. But the Pashas is, and the Abarbanel says a Beferish, that it was four. He lit himself on fire. Why? Why was he punished after only 7 days of being a king? Which also is an interesting discussion in the Achronim, whether he is considered a king. He was a king for 7 days. Was he considered a king halachically? So that's a question. Here it uses the lashon of Malach Zimri. He is considered a king. But either way, why was he punished? Al chatosa v'asher chata pasuk yutes, for all the sins that he committed, lasos harav b'nei Hashem, to follow the Ravim's path, uvichata so asher hazalach tis Yisrael, and all the sins that he caused the Jews to commit. So this is a question. If he was only king for 7 days, how many sins could he be machti? Especially he was only in the palace by himself. The rest of the Am was surrounding the Plishtim. So how bad could he have been in terms of being a machti? Fine, a chote. He could do a lot of aveiros himself. But how could he be a machti? So the Radak says, well, maybe beforehand. Before he became the king, he had done a lot of Hachta'ah, and now that he's the king, you put it all together. But the Malbim says no. The Malbim says because his plan was to do that. Ratzal lomar shegomar bedaito la'asos l'aleches b'derech zeh. He decided, and therefore, says the Rinas Yitzchak, beautiful. We know the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin that by Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarif l'maisa. Even though a machshava l'avodah zarah is usually not considered that, but here it is. Says the Rinas Yitzchak, Rav Sarutzkin, Af agav dezimri lo malach el hazayin yamim, mikol makom, gomar bedaito lahachtias Yisrael, kol yamei malchuso. He decided he was planning to do that his entire malchus. Uba avodah zarah, af machshava ra, kadosh baruch hu mitzarfa l'maisa. Beautiful. Kiddushin daf mem, and he bases it on this malbim. So that's why he got punished for being a king for 7 days. Good, so then he dies, and who takes over? Omri takes over. There was a little split in the Malchus the Navi describes in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, that half of the people followed someone named Tivni, and half the people followed Omri, but eventually it became clear that Omri was going to be the king. Tivni died, either he died or he was killed, different pshatim, but either way, Omri takes over. So in the 31st year of Asa, Asa was king for, as we saw, a long time, and therefore he had a number of kings of Yisrael that were parallel to him. In his 31st year, Omri takes over and he rules for 12 years. And what does he do? Pasach Chav Dalid. Vayikin Esahar Shomron Me'eshemer B'kikrim Kesef. He buys the Shomron Mountain. He builds a city. Vayivin Esahar. He builds a city on the Shomron Mountain. He calls the city Adonai Ahar Shomron. Some type of Avodah Zarah. That's what he calls it. Chazal pick up on this pasuk and they say, why was Omri Zoche? Omri was Zoche to be king for 12 years. And his son was Zoche, and he had a son who was Zoche to be king for 22 years. That's amazing. That's longer than the previous kings. Also, the Tanya Devilio points out, Omri was the first king of Yisrael that was Zoche to have a son who was the king after him. Up until now, there's been different kings. Yeravam and Nadav wasn't really a king, right? After a little, Nadav and Yeravam. It says Malach, right? We didn't really Yarshin it in that way. That's the language, if you want to look in the Tanya Devilio. It says, the Be'er Moshe quotes it, another Mefarshim quoted, let me just find it. The Be'er Moshe quotes the Tanit Ve'Elio, Pamachas Ha'isi Yoshev Be'es HaMedrash HaGadol B'Yerushalayim, Lefnei Chachamim, Amarti Lohem, says Elio, Rabosai, Ma'anishtanu Amri Sartzeval Yisrael, Shekosha Yulafanev LoHoshivu Melech Ben Melech. Maybe it's Hoshivu. He didn't, let's say, die a normal death and then have his son take over. Yeravam was killed. Why was it? Acheba Amri v'yashvu lo shloshim alachem al-kiso. Why was he? And the Gemara asked the same thing in Sanhedrin Kuf Beis. Why was Amri zoche l'malchus? Why? Because he built one krach in Eretz Yisrael. Right here. Shehosef krach echad b'Eretz Yisrael. He built up a city in Eretz Yisrael. B'schus that yishav Eretz Yisrael. That's why he was zoche. Unbelievable. Even though he named the city after an avodah zarah. Still, that itself is an amazing schus. The Be'er Moshe says, you see from here, even though he built it, L'shem Avodah Zarah, but he still built it. Hashem is not Makabeh Schar L'chol Maisa. Variz Elimunora, says the Be'er Moshe. L'das Ma'omku Mishpedei Hashem B'schar V'onesh. She'ari Omri Ba'atzmo Hayo Oved Avodah Zarah. And he called the Krach after Avodah Zarah. But still, Kibel Schar Al Maisa Tova Hu Osafas Krach. The Eretz Yisrael. That is what he did. If you look in the Margolius Hashas, which is a sefer of the collection of Hasidic thoughts on the Gemara, on that Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Beis, it quotes a story about Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld from 1939. When Rabbi Yosef Zonnefeld says when they were building up the Neve Sha'anan neighborhood in Yerushalayim, and they were putting a cornerstone, so he quoted this Gemara, and he says, Rabosai, you have to understand, there's a lot of, and this is classic, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was known for his political views. So he said here, I'm telling you, everybody, this is in 1939, 10 years before the State of Israel, he says, there are many people out there that do not believe in Torah, but they do believe in Eretz Yisrael, and they're building up the land. And I'm telling you, that schus is going to come one day for them to achieve something very important. Says Efshar, he wrote, says Chuzeh Yagiu Ipam Lefnei Bias HaMashiach L'Srara Ulamalchus Be'eretz HaKodesh. He predicted the state. Why? As a schus. For look what they all did. What they did. Look, Omri was an Oved Avodah Zarah Mamish anti terrible, trying to get everybody else to go away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if they get that schus, says Rabbi Chaim Zonnefeld, we have to do it also. And therefore, as many Shomrei Torah mitzvahs that could build up Eretz Yisrael, we have to do it ourselves. And then he jumped in and he started cleaning away the rocks for the neighborhood. So that's this Gemara, the Gemara about building one city in Eretz Yisrael. The Marsha does point out that it's somewhat unusual in that he built this city before he became the king. Before he built the city, that's what's clear. He became the king and then he built it. So Marsha says, well, it gives one answer that is suggested. If you look in the Margolius Ayam on that Gemara in Sanhedrin, he gives many examples where you have something given even before, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that this is what's going to be. Right? The Malchus was taken away from Eliav, David's older brother, because Hashem knew that he was a Ka'ason, even though his Ka'as didn't become out and become public until afterwards when he got mad at David for coming to the battlefield with Goliath. But that is an important Gemara, Sanhedrin Kuf Beis, about the Zechus of Omri. But the Pasuk Hafei, we continue, Vayas Omri Hara B'nei Hashem, he was terrible, Vayar Mikol HaShalafanav, he was worse than anybody beforehand. The Malbim says he invented new Avodah Zarah, even more than was done earlier, and his son was going to be even worse than him. Vayel B'kol Derech Yeravim Menavat, he followed in all the ways of Yeravam Ubachata, so Asher Echtes Yisrael, to make Hashem angry. And the rest, if you want to know more about Omri, you can look in the history books. Omri dies, and his son Achav takes over the topic of the next six prakim or so here in Navi. V'Achav ben Omri Malach al Yisrael, he was king. Achav was king during the 38th year of Asa, towards the end of his malchus, and he was king for 22 years. Vayas Achav ben Omri hara lefnei Hashem, mikol asher lefanav. Everybody's building on each other. He does even worse than anybody before him. Vayihanokel belechto b'chadas Yoram b'nevat. Right, and he was what Yoram did was nothing as compared to what Achav did. And who was part of his rishus? Vayikach isha Zevel bas es Baal melech Sidonim. He took a wife, Zevel, who was non-Jewish, emphasizing her non-Jewishness, that she didn't convert. Bas es Baal, which is either her real father or named after the Avodah Zarah. Vayelech vayavod es Baal. And he went to the land of Sidonim to worship the Baal. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says it must be this was part of the deal of the marriage. You know, you have to come and worship there. And the Rabbi Yaakov says, and you have this in Spanish kings, he quotes King Ferdinand, went somewhere else with his wife to be able to marry her. But either way, this is what happened here. Izebel drags him in, and as we will see, Izebel was a terrible help for him throughout his malchus. Vayakim mizbeach labaal beis habaal sharbana b'shamron. He builds a big mizbeach for the baal. Vayas achav es hasheri. He builds asheras avodah zarah trees. Vayosef achav lasos. He does everything to make a Kadosh Baruch Hu mad, worse than anybody previously. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Kufbeis, same Gemara, that he wrote on the gates of Shomron, the Avodah Zarah mountain, he wrote, Ein lanu chelek b'elokei Yisrael. We don't believe in God, which is even worse than earlier. Earlier, maybe they believed in Avodah Zarah plus Hashem. But this is worse. Ein lanu chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Why is this? So the Arachayim HaKadosh says in the beginning of Nitzavim, the Mishmas Zav suggests, that's what this is based on, that, you know, someone might be kofir bakol, deny and reject God, and in that way say, well, I'm only going to get one Avera then. I'm not going to get kares for all of the other Averas because I'm just rejecting Hashem. And once I reject the mitzvah, then there are no mitzvahs at all. No. There are chayim HaKadosh. Based on a deek in the pasuk there, says no. Even if I'm kofar be'ikr, I'm still going to be responsible for each and every other Avera as well. It's not that, I'm just going to be responsible for one. And the Mishnah Zav quotes a story about the Gra. The Gra once went over to a kofar and gave him, watch him eating. He says, why don't you make a bracha? He says, make a bracha. I don't keep Shabbos. I don't do this. I don't do that. What did he say? Why don't you make a bracha? So the Gra says, that doesn't matter. You're going to be held responsible for every little thing. Mitzvah or Avera. I'm going to get schar for every little mitzvah. I'm going to be held responsible for every little Avera. So the Gra says, why don't you make a bracha? The Musar HaNeviim also says right here that if you look and think of Achav, Achav was terrible, as we know, as the Navi describes. But the Gemara also says in Sanhedrin Kuf Beis, why was he zochet to be a king for 22 years? Because he was mechabed the Torah that was given with 22 letters. As we will see in a couple of prakim, what he did. He had a little kavanah Torah. So how could you have such a person? Asked the Musar HaNeviim. He was mechabed the Torah, but he was so terrible. Suggests the Musar HaNeviim, Achav believed in God, but he did not believe that there's any special connection to Am Yisrael. He thought that was rejected. Maybe once the Malchus split, it's all over. Now we're just like all the other nations. So we can worship Hashem, or we can worship others. He wanted to be connected to the other nations, and in that way, deny any special connection of Bechiras Yisrael. You put it all together. Okay, last pasuk. Biyamav, in Achav's day, seems like a non sequitur. Seems like a pasuk just stuck in there. In his day, a man named Chiel built up Yericho, and his sons died throughout the process, as a fulfillment of the curse that Yoshua made and put out, that if anybody rebuilds Yericho, right, we want it to be off limits to remember the nace that happened with the walls. So if anybody rebuilds it, their children are going to die. So 2 points. Number one, why did he rebuild it? What's the connection of Achav and Chiel? So explain the Mefarshim. Explains Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Achav made it clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved anymore. Achav made it clear, deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you obviously can deny any curse related. But even more specific, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that Achav was spreading the mistaken idea that this is a new Malchus, right? There's no more Malchus Yehuda, like Yeravam was also saying, once the Shvatim are split, you don't have to go to Ali LeRegel anymore, you can come up north. And Achav was saying also, all the Gzeres of Yeshua was only going into the original Malchus Yehuda, but now it's all gone, and therefore you don't have to worry about the Gzera, and that is Yericho. And the question that the Mefarshim asked, the Radak here deals with, isn't Yericho in Yehuda? So it must be, that must have been maybe near the border, and he was still, Achav had still had control over this. And that's why there was, the Rebbe Achav Amnesky continues, that's why they didn't think Bumas were a problem, and that's why they didn't think Mitzvahs maybe, because he considered it a Chutz La'aretz where he was, the Rebbe Achav Amnesky explains. But either way, that was Achav and why he did it. What's amazing, though, and the Malbim points this out, and all the Baalim also pointed out, is that right when he started building it, his oldest son died. He didn't take that as a message. And Pashas says all his sons died throughout the process until he finished it, and then his last son died. He didn't stop. He didn't think that, oh, maybe this is what's happening. No, what a coincidence, my son got sick. Unbelievable, unbelievable, akshanis and kshei oref, that he sees his children dying in front of him, and still he doesn't stop. Doesn't stop. Somebody who doesn't want to believe is not going to believe, even if he sees it right in front of him. So this is lays the groundwork. Again, the influence of Achav. Achav is now up, and he takes over in the last of the days of Asa. We'll see if the kings are going to switch in his days, because he's kings for 22 years. But the main stories that we will have over the next couple of prakim are Eliyahu Anavi and Achav, the king of Israel. Okay, we'll stop here.